Okay, so I'm going to talk about a lepton friendly Higgs boson and how to discover that at LHC. And frankly, this title actually come up after I see Jack's title, which is an ideal Higgs boson. So I thought I have to come up with something fancy, which is this one. Okay, so first of course, motivation, then I'll briefly introduce leptonic two Higgs double models, which actually you can guess from the name, it's a very easy arrangement. And then I will talk about the LHC discovery potentials for the H goes to muon pair and H goes to tau pair by looking over all those different production ones, the gluon fusion, weak boson fusion, TTH and ZH and WH channels. And actually for the current studies, most of the experimental studies focus on the weak boson fusion with H goes to tau tau. And a lot of other channels has been kind of neglected or, you know, some of study has been done before, but quite some others has not, and this is what our work is about. And by the way, this work is together with postdoc Brooks Thomas. Okay, so just like everything else, let's begin with the standard model. And it's well known, we all know that standard model, we only have one Higgs. So this Higgs basically taking care of everything, break electroweak symmetry, give all the mass to fermions, including all the quarks and the charged leptons. So two obvious observations. One is that since we only have one Higgs double, we only have one physical Higgs left over. So the Higgs couplings to the fermions or gauge bosons, is just exactly whatever you cover coupling you write down in the Lagrangian. So here's this first equation over here, the power couplings to the Higgs, the ratio of with the bottom coupling to the Higgs is exactly the ratio of the Yukawa coupling over here. And the second observation is that since the same Higgs give mass to both the quarks and the leptons over here, Yukawa coupling is proportional to its mass, which is the second equation over here, the ratio of the Yukawa coupling is equal to the ratio of the masses. And then later on, you will see that both these equal sign here will be changing in different models. And this part here shows the well-known standard model Higgs decay branching ratios. And you can also easily see that for the low Higgs mass, about 100 to 140 GeV, the H goes to BB dominates. So if we want to calculate the branching ratio for all those other channels, a very good approximation is that the branching ratio, for example, H goes to tau tau, is simply the ratio of the partial decay width of H goes to tau tau divided by the H goes to BBs. And this also relates to the ratio of the Yukawa couplings from this expression over here, Yukawa coupling square. So this is for standard model. And let's do a little bit beyond the standard model. And we have did this for a long time, MSSM. And if I focus on the Higgs sector, it's actually a kind of type 2 two Higgs double models, where you have two Higgs double with one Higgs coupled to the up-type quarks, and the other Higgs coupled to the down-type quarks and the charged lepton. This is arranged. So it's given by this Yukawa coupling over here, and this can be easily arranged by assigning the hypercharge for the phi u and the phi d. So this is all the usual story. Then they get a value to find the tangent beta. So let's just study a little bit more carefully about the Yukawa coupling over here. So yb and the y tau, they're mb divided by vd, and the same thing for the m tau divided by the same vd, because it's the same Higgs give couples to the down type and the charged leptons. But comparing to the standard model, Yukawa couplings have extra factor of 1 over cosine beta in front, which means for large tangent beta, you have enhanced the coupling of the bottom Yukawa and the tau Yukawa comparing to the standard model. So this part is also well known. But this is not the Higgs coupling to the bottom and the tau. This is just the Yukawa coupling. The reason is that we have two Higgs bosons. So they mix together, become the mass eigenstate, little h0 and a capital H0. So those, the H0BB and H0TauTau tau are what we care about, the coupling over here, and they can easily be related to the Yukawa coupling by extra factor of minus sine alpha, which is basically the mixing angle over there. So if you follow this equation, you have this extra factor in front, which relates to the Yukawa coupling in the standard model, so I already taken care of this 1 over 10 cosine beta over here, with the bottom and the tau Higgs couplings in the MSSM or type 2 two Higgs double models. So as I mentioned, when tangent beta gets big, cosine beta gets small, you have enhanced couplings. So, but also you have enhanced couplings. You don't really have the enhanced decay branching ratio. And the reason is obvious. If you look at the ratio of these two, the common factors cancels out. So the ratio of the couplings over here is exactly the same as the ratio in the standard model. So as I said, for low Higgs mass, you can take this approximation that the branch ratio is roughly G squared with the top divided by G squared with the bottom. So this is roughly the same as the branch ratio in the standard model. So this is shown in this plot over here. This is the same previous plot for the standard model. This is for the MSSM with the tangent beta equal to 3 or tangent beta equal to 30. So there's slightly difference over here due to loop correction and things like that, but roughly you can see that by order of magnitude, it's about 10% for the tau decay branch ratio. Okay, so although for tangent beta equal to 30, you have the Yukawa coupling to be greatly enhanced, but not the branch ratio. The tau decay branch ratio is still roughly about 10%, which is roughly the same as the standard model. So the question you would ask is, okay, so could we come up with things have enhanced the branch ratio of H goes to tau tau and H goes to mu mu? Okay. And this actually has shown up in some models. For example, Walter Goldberg gave a talk here last week, and he talked about kind of a light scalar coming from the explicit breaking of scale invariance. And there you could add actual terms which has enhanced H goes to mu on mu on branch ratios. And it could also appear in many other models. And the reason we want to study these particular cases is actually more from the experimental side, because we all know that the leptonic signal, they are so clean. H goes to mu mu, H goes to tau, and also H goes to EE over here. They're very clean signal, easy to observe, easy to reconstruct. They can get a very good measurement of the mass and things like that. Okay, for my talk below, actually I would not talk about H goes to EE. And the one reason is just that if you think about the Higgs coupled to all the generation universally, then the Yukawa coupling is proportional to its mass ratios. And because electron mass is so low, it's very likely that electron branch ratio will be too small to be observed for most of the models that you'll be considered. So I will only consider about the Higgs decay to muons and the Higgs decay to tau pairs. And the Higgs decay to muon in particular is very interesting, because this will be the first chance that you could possibly measure a second generation Yukawa couplings. If you think about the tau and the tau HTT couplings and H-tau-tau couplings, they are the third generations. So if you have a chance to measure the second generation Yukawa couplings, it will offer some check of the lepton universality or generation universalities for the Higgs couplings over here. And you couldn't really measure the Higgs couple to the charm or Higgs couple, okay, put Higgs to the charm, but very, very difficult. And the Higgs couple to strange is impossible. Okay? So let's look at each of those channels. H goes to mu mu, extremely clean, muon easy to identify, with identification efficiency very high. Once you observe two muons, reconstruct the invariant mass, just usual story, clean channel. And H goes to tau tau is a little bit more difficult, so I say relatively clean. So let's look at tau decay. The tau could decay leptonically to electrons or muons, and with a branch ratio of 35%. So you could identify energetic electron, energetic muons with a lot of missing ET over here, so the identification efficiency is also relatively high. Tau could also decay hydronically with one prion event, one charged prion, or three prion events with three charged prions. And experimentally, you're looking at a very narrow jet with low multiplicities. So the identification efficiency is a bit lower, but still at LHC, they could possibly reach about 50% with the tau identification efficiency over here. And once you have two taus, even you have the missing energy due to the neutrino over here, you could actually reconstruct back the tau mass, M tau tau. Or sometimes if you don't really you just reconstruct the transverse mass of the M tau tau pair, which give you a very good idea of what the Higgs mass will be also. So let's back to the story. Okay, so how can we come up with a model with enhanced coupling to the leptons? You will see it's very easy. It's indeed very easy. Because if you just look at the two Higgs W models and take the lesson from the MSSM that the bottom and tau Yukawa coupling is enhanced coupling to the standard model. So the reason is because the Higgs value is too small. It's very small. We do the same thing here. You introduce two Higgs W. One is called the phi q, the other thing is called the phi l, with phi q only coupled to the quarks, both up and down, kind of like a standard model quark. And then the phi l only coupled to the leptons over here. So this could be achieved, for example, by impulse actually to symmetries with phi L and the right-hand electrons being odd, everything being even. So you could write down this kind of Lagrangian over here. So here I'm not talking about consider any UV compression or anything like that. I'm just talking about at low energy, the effective theory, I have this type of leptonic 2-Higgs double models. And once we have this Lagrangian, everything follows naturally. Each of them gets a valve. Tiny beta is defined as before, the ratio of two valves. And then if you look at the bottom, the tall, you cover coupling, they relate to standard model by different coefficient in front. For the bottom, it's one of sine beta, and for the tall, it's one of cosine beta. So for tiny beta large, again, when VL is kind of small, you would get enhanced tall, you cover couplings. Compared to the bottom, you cover coupling. And the same story, you have these two mixed up, give mass eigenstates by angle alpha. So we need to go from the Yukawa couplings to the real Higgs couplings. So here, the Higgs coupling to bottom is related to the Yukawa couplings in the standard model by this coefficient, with a couples to the top by a different coefficient over here. So now if you take the ratio, you have a different coefficient in front, and obviously you can see when tiny beta gets very large, while cosine alpha is, cosine alpha is roughly out of one, you get huge enhancement over here, which leads to a huge enhancement in the top branching ratio. And for the mu branching ratio, it's the same story. You will get the same enhancement over here. Okay, so of course, in the decoupling limit, you can check that once the Higgs mass, other Higgs mass gets very large, alpha and the beta is differed by this power over 2, then these two branching ratio become same. But if you just deviate a little bit from the decoupling limit, we could get very large enhancement for the branching ratio, which I'll show in the next two transparencies. And for the rest of my talk, I will parameterize the Higgs couplings by this value called eta. So eta L is the ratio of the Higgs coupling in this model divided by the standard model, and same thing for eta Q and eta WZs. Okay? Okay, so this plot here basically shows that in the tan beta and the sine alpha plane, if you take into account the constraints of perturbativities, and also the vacuum stability, all the purple region are basically excluded. So we only study the central region over here. And the blue one corresponding to the Higgs, the heavier Higgs mass, lighter than 500 GeV, and the yellow is 500 to 700, and the red is 700 to 1 TeV region over here. So we would like to see, for example, in this region, which is very close to decoupling with the heavier Higgs mass being kind of heavier, whether we can have enhanced couplings to the leptons. Okay, so this is shown in this plot. It's basically the same plot with this central region. All we did is overlay the contours for eta L and eta Q. So if you look at the left plot, all those are the contours for eta L is equal to 10, 7.5, 5, and 2, and 1. So those are in the excluded region, so we won't consider that. But even in the allowed region over here, you can see we can easily get enhancement factors from 1 to 5. For the coupling to the leptons. But branch ratio is that factor square, so the branch ratio will be enhanced furthermore. And we want to check that eta Q won't be suppressed too much, because eta Q and eta V will be related to the production part of the Higgs, which I'll show in next transparencies. So it did. So for the eta Q in the central region, it's more or less 1, or 0.75, it's a little bit outside. So in this central region, it's somewhere between 1 to 0.8 or something like that. And we also check for the eta W and eta Z, it's close to 1. So we pick a benchmark point. We pick a point with tiny beta equal to 5, and the sine alpha is minus 0.5, which corresponding to eta L is about 2.44, and eta Q and the eta W and Z, they are very close to 1 here. So the production for the Higgs won't really be affected very much, but on the other hand, the decay to muon to tau will be greatly enhanced by 2.44 squared, basically. So, as you would imagine, if we look at the branching ratios of the Higgs in this kind of leptonic 2-Higgs double models, compared to the standard models, if you look at this curve, there are two obvious changes. There are two lines which moves up. One is this H goes to tau. Now it could have a branching ratio similar to H goes to BB. It's really close to H goes to BB. And the other one is the branching ratio of H goes to muons. Before, in the standard model, it's about 10 to the minus 4. That's why it makes the search in the standard model for H equals to mu mu is so difficult, but now I can jump up to 10 to the minus 3. It's close to this photon line over here. So if you think glu glu goes to H goes to photon, photon would be a good channel, then glu glu goes to H goes to mu mu here would be a good channel for this particular model, for the benchmark point over here. And this part just shows the ratio of the total decay width over here. This is standard model value 1. Okay, so it's enhanced in the low-end regions basically because now both bottom and top become important. And it's suppressed in the high-end region because this is simply just A to V squared, and A to V is less than 1. So let's study the LHC. Okay, so Higgs could be produced by all those different channels and could decay into the usual channel is photon, photon, total, WW, and ZZs. If we look at the cross-section versus the standard model, it can be written as the ratio of the H decay to whatever particle goes into the production with the partial decay width of the H goes to whatever the final state is with the ratios of the total decay width. So the first one is proportional to A to X squared, whatever the X is, and the second one is proportional to A to Y squared, and the last one here is it's out of 1. So for gluon fusion, the eta should be eta q. It's not, it's eta glu, but eta glu is equal to eta q because this is produced by the top quark running in the loop. So it's really the HTT coupling that's relevant. That's why it's eta q. And the weak boson fusion is eta w and eta z's. And the TTH is again eta q. And the last one is again eta w and eta z's. So if you look at those production channels, they are all slightly suppressed because remember the eta q is about like 0.85, and the A, the W, and the Z is about the 0.9. So the production is kind of slightly suppressed, so that's kind of bad news. And if we look at the decay, actually the muon and the tau will be greatly enhanced, so that's good news. So this plot you see yesterday about the standard model Higgs searches in the ATLAS and the CMS, the basic story is low energy. You look at gluon fusion with H goes to photon, given by the yellow curve, and the TTH with H goes to BB bar, given by this purple one over here. For the intermediate mass region, you look at the weak boson fusions with H goes to tau, which is given by this blue curve, and H goes to WW, which is given by this green curve over here. And for the high mass region, you look at the gluon fusions with H goes to WW and ZZ, given by these two curves over here. So this picture will change slightly in the benchmark point that we picked. So this is reproduced of the previous plot. And if we look at the benchmark point, which is given by this solid line over here, you can see for all the other channels, it's suppressed slightly. Okay, it is suppressed, but only slightly, not that much. But on the other hand, you do get this huge enhancement for the weak boson fusion with H goes to tau channel. And I'll come back to this later. But for the rest of my talk, I'll focus on the channel that people haven't really paid much attention to, which is H goes to muons and H goes to taus. So just to remind you, the production, gluon fusion has the largest rate, followed by weak boson fusion, and followed by those associated productions. So we also go with that order. Glu-glu goes to H goes to muon. The only study we have found is by Tao Han and Bob McAllen, and they did a parton level studies of glu-glu goes to H goes to muons. And the background is obviously just the standard model with the Jiao-Yang productions exchange as the off-shell photon over here. So the cut is whatever the naive one you can think of, pick up two muons with enough energies, reconstruct the muon mass, put that in the Higgs mass window, and see if that could cut out the background. So they did that. The result, actually, look at this one over here, S over square root B. It's about 2 sigma, but with enormous of luminosity. So this is at the very final stage at LHC with 300 inverse Fechner luminosity, both ATLAS and the CMS combined. So that's where the 600 inverse Fechner luminosity comes from. So for the standard model, it's really difficult to observe this channel over here. But for our benchmark point, you can see even with 30 inverse Fechner luminosities, you could get a significance level very close to whatever standard model is. And if the luminosity is increased by a factor of 4, then you could easily get to 5 sigma levels. So this is, you will see this similar plot over and over again in the remaining of my transparencies. It's an enhancement factor for whatever new physics is versus the standard model as a function of Higgs mass. And this is 3 sigma curve, this is 5 sigma curve for certain inverse fact-bound luminosities. So once you have this plot, basically you can apply this to whatever the new physics model you have and see what your reach is. And for our benchmark point, it's given by this black line over here. So for certain inverse fact-bound, it's a little bit below 3 sigma, but you could have factor of 2 enhancement in the luminosity. You could go to 3 sigma. If you have factor of 4, you could go to 5 sigma over here. Okay, so I picked certain inverse fact-bound just to be consistent for the remaining of my talk. Okay, glue goes to H goes to Tata. The LHC study really has not been done yet. I think one of the main reasons probably because it's a little bit hard to find this tar and the background is kind of huge. But Tao and his collaborators actually look at the study at the Tevachans. And in order to reconstruct the top here to give a Higgs mass, they actually need to have the Higgs produced recoil from a jet, which means the Higgs need to have some kind of transverse momentum. So they look at the cross-section of the PP bar goes to H jet with H decaying to a pair of tars. The cross-section is about 44 to 15 fact-bonds with different masses. The background, again, you just replace H with Z. So this is background, factor of 3 larger. Another big background actually we think of is just the 3 jet events at Tevachan with 2 jets being misidentified with tar. But if you look at the misidentification rate, for a jet to a hydronic jet, it's about 5 × 10⁻³. And the misidentification rate for a jet for a leptonic tar is even smaller, 10⁻⁴. So if you apply this factor to 2 jets over here, this background actually could be suppressed to a safe level. So they look at this over here. It's basically the JJJ background is suppressed to a very safe level over here. I didn't say what the cut they have. Okay, so this almost invisible plot, I couldn't get a better quality plot. I just take that from their paper. Look at the invariant mass of the top peak, which is given by this one over here, for the hydronic tar decay. So you can see that even for hydronic tar, you can get a relatively good Higgs mass peak over here. The Z is somewhere over here, the QCD is somewhere over here. And they look at both tar decay into jets, or one jet, one lepton, or 2 leptons. And if you look at the sigma over background ratio and also S over square root B, actually one leptonic, one hydronic channel actually offers the best chance over here. And they actually combine all the channels and they look at the Tevachan reach for that. And for 95% confidence level, for the standard model, if you want to exclude the Higgs, you need a luminosity from 14 to 32 GeVs. Which again, if you look at our benchmark point, you can see that even with 2 inverse fact-bound luminosities, if you didn't see a Higgs, you can more or less exclude that benchmark point over there. So this is the same similar plot as I showed before, but this is for Tevachan 2 inverse fact-bound luminosities. Whatever the cover, the enhancement factor you need to have a 95% 3 sigma and a 5 sigma reaches. And the benchmark point is somewhere over here. So you can see that for our benchmark point, even just with 2 inverse fact-bound luminosity, you could actually probe a Higgs mass up to like 130 GeV or something like that. So this is for Tevachan. LHC story will obviously be more complicated since there are more jets flowing around and things like that. And this is the work in progress because I don't really have any real number to show you. We are still working on all those productions, the cuts and things like that. So, but it will appear soon. Weak boson fusion, okay, H goes to mu mu, the usual story. The background is the QCD ZJJ or electric ZJJ production with Z decaying to pair of muons and all those other backgrounds. So this is work being done by Tillman and Dave, and they also kind of look at only patons. So all those previous studies, they are looking mostly just at patonic levels. And the cuts are the standard cuts. You're looking for 2 forward jet tagging, central mini jet veto, which is you don't have lots of jet activity in the central regions. You put a jet mass cut over here. You require 2 muons to reconstruct the Higgs mass. So this really helps when you look at M mu mu and they're required to be in a very narrow window of the Higgs mass. It cut down the background greatly. But if you look at numbers, it actually looks very similar to the glue goes to H goes to muon muon channels. It needs extremely large luminosities, and you only reach 2 to 3 sigma levels. And it could be enhanced again in the benchmark point with only certain inverse fact-bound luminosities. Similar plot over here. I won't spend much time and actually just continue with Okay, weak boson fusion with H equals to tau tau. So this channel is actually the discovery channel for the Higgs study at intermediate Higgs regions. And the background, again, similar to what we have before, and this table I took from the most recent ATLAS studies. And you can see that for jet tagging, jet veto, putting jet mass, putting large PT missing over here, so you can cut out a lot of the bottom background. You put a transverse mass cut over here, you can cut out a lot of the W background, and you do the tau reconstruction. So you did all those, and you find that your signal is better than the background. And this is for one tau decay hydronically, one tau decay leptonically. People also look at both leptonic decays with one tau decaying to electrons, the other one decaying to muons. The first theoretical paper is done by those people over here, and the experimental group has also been followed up with both ATLAS and CMS, so you basically see the same stuff yesterday. So the basic idea is, again, you could cut down the background significantly by looking at these channels with all those cuts. So this table basically summarizes the results with both the leptonic channel and the semi-leptonic channel combined. So semi-leptonic channel offers a slightly better significance levels compared to leptonic channels, but experimentally they just combine everything. So for the Higgs mass between 120 to 140 GeVs, you could roughly reach 5 sigmas for the standard model, and the number just being hugely enhanced for the benchmark. So which is also, this plot say the same thing. For kappa is equal to 1, for the standard model you could get 5 sigma, and whatever enhancement you will have, this is going to be a very good channel, even with 30 inverse fact bound luminosities. Okay, so this is a study that we have did for the TTH channels with H goes to muons. So we look at, so since we already have muon over here, which offers a very good trigger for this event, it allows us to look at the hydronic decay of the top quark. So both top quark decay hydronically, bottom decay left, bottom, Higgs decay to muon pairs, you just reconstruct the top quark, reconstruct the Higgs mass, which cut on the background. So if you look at those numbers, so this channel has not been studied before, and we found that for the low Higgs mass, 110, 120 GeVs, it actually offers a significance level similar to the gluon fusion and the weak boson fusion process that I told you before. And we only look at the hydronic channel for those numbers over here, and we are in the process of doing one top decay hydronically, one top decay leptonically, or both top decay leptonically. So if we combine all those channels, I would expect that we will get a larger significance level over here, which will actually be comparable really to the gluon fusion and the weak boson fusion. So we need to add this also to the study of the H goes to mu mu's. And this, again, is an enhancement plot for the 30 inverse fact bound luminosities. And right now, okay, so for 30 inverse fact bound luminosity, for the benchmark point, it's a little bit below, but could be enhanced. TTH channel, with H goes to top here. The study has been done at parton level, again, by Bayerlof and Rayner. And they look at one leptonic top, one hydronic top, and then tau decay both hydronically. So they look at events with a lot of jets, one lepton, one missing T over here. You can see that with 100 inverse fact bound luminosities, you could, for the low Higgs mass region, you could get a 5 sigma significance levels. And again, it's enhanced. Let me skip this plot. You see too much of those plots. Okay, WH and the ZH channels. This is the last one I'm going to talk about. And we're just going to look at, so both H goes to mu mu or tau tau, and we also look at definitely also decay leptonically. So you're either looking at a trilepton event or you're looking at events with 4 leptons, which is a very clean channel. But although it's a clean channel, the background, unfortunately, is kind of big because the background is just WZ and ZZs. So we are in the process of analyzing this plot, so I don't really have any number after the cuts. But just to give you some idea for the numbers before the cuts for the signal and the background. So for H goes to, so all those are for the standard model. For the benchmark point, you just multiply the enhancement factor. So for the H goes to mu mu, you can see the signals is many other magnitude than the background before the cuts. And those many other magnitude difference couldn't really be recovered even after apply the cuts. So I think for this channel, the signal is just way too small. So for the standard model, and even for the benchmark point with all those enhancements, I don't think we will be able to see this channel with the leptonic, with H goes to muon muon. But on the other hand, for h equals to tau tau, you can see that we only need a factor of 8 or a factor of 10, a factor of 8 to 10 to cut down by the cuts if you compare the signal to the background. So this is a possible channel over here, and we are also in the process of analyzing these particular channels. So to summarize all I said in the past 10 minutes, just into two plots. This is for the standard model, so the inverse spectral luminosity. The y-axis is significance level, and the x-axis is the Higgs mass. So this dashed line here is basically tell you where the 3 sigma is. So weak boson fusion with h equals to tau tau, which is a nice story we had before. It's a standard model discovery channel. But even for TTH with h equals to tau tau, you could reach 3 sigma at low mass. But h goes to mu mu is basically an order of magnitude less for the standard model. So with all the enhancement in the benchmark point in this leptonic 2 Higgs double models, you will basically all push everything up over here. Even the mu mu channel, muon channel could become a discovery channel if we have a little bit more luminosities than through the inverse fact bars. Okay, so to conclude, basically we're looking at those clean Higgs decay channels to muons and taus. Although we haven't really studied the Higgs decay to electrons, but you can very easily just take the study of H goes to muons and you can translate that into H goes to electrons. It's very similar stories. And this channel is experimentally clean, and also theoretically, if we could measure the Higgs decay to Higgs Yukawa coupling to the muons, it offers us a check of the generation universalities for the Higgs couplings. And we have been studying a kind of simple generalization of a standard model, which is a leptonic 2 Higgs double models with one Higgs coupled to quarks, the other Higgs coupled to leptons. And this gives a very natural enhancement of the leptonic Higgs decay. So the MSSM, they couldn't do it for the type 2 Higgs double models because the branching ratio wouldn't be enhanced, even though the Yukawa coupling is enhanced. But for this type of 2 Higgs double models, you do. Okay, so for H goes to tau tau channel, weak boson fusion is our good stories. Even for TTH, it's possible at 100 inverse spectrum luminosity, and we are looking at those channels. H goes to muon, muon, really, for the standard model, you need extremely large value of luminosity, 600 inverse spectrum to be able to see something. But then if you have some enhancement, either in this model or in whatever other model you come up with enhanced branching ratios, then you could possibly be looking at this H goes to muon muon channel. Thank you.
Okay, we'll start over here with questions.
While it's true that there haven't been any recent, at least public published studies of the glow-glow to Higgs to tau-tau, there are lots of old ones, because indeed it used to be used for a long period of time as a benchmark.
For LHC,
mm-hmm. Because in order to reconstruct the Higgs into tau-tau from that process, mm-hmm. it's very sensitive to the missing ET resolution of the detector. And so it was often used as a benchmark process for characterizing the missing ET mm-hmm. resolution. And so it was done both by Atlas and CMS years ago. Okay. And more recently, it's in the CMS TDR, I believe. I'm not... Don't quote me on that, because I haven't got the CMS TDR with me, but I believe it's in there. If there's somebody from CMS, they could comment.
Yeah, I think I might have missed it, but I look at CMS TDR, it doesn't have this particular channel of glue goes to H goes to tau.
It is fair to say, however, mm-hmm. that now we believe, particularly for the masses that are favored for the Higgs boson, that we believe that the VBF is somewhat more sensitive, and therefore that's where the focus has been.
Yeah, the weak boson fusion is more sensitive to the tau-tau channel.
Basically, Ian has already made the comment. I mean, this has been studied years ago. Mm-hmm. Now is again under study, this channel. I don't think we'll be able to present soon new results on it, except in the lepton-hadron case, but hopefully we'll come.
Okay, so you guys are looking at that.
Yes.
Okay, good.
At least this for Atlas.
Okay.
Yes, Shufan, maybe you said it and I missed it, but normally in these non-supersymmetric 2 Higgs double models, you can have trouble with B2S gamma or precision electro weak. You have any constraints coming from those things?
Could you say that again? Sorry, I just.
So constraints, because you are especially in B2S gamma. For the flavor
tuning constraints. Yes, there are flavor tuning constraints on that. But actually, Brooks has been looking at those. And the strongest, it could go bigger to S gamma and all those delta MB, delta MK mixing stuff. And Brooks actually found that. Actually, the strongest constraints come from when the tenor beta is small. So in that case, the constraint is strong. But when tenor beta is large, actually constraint is not that strong. So we have been looking at that, and it's safe. Maybe Brooks and Hammer. Yeah. And we also look at constraints from the leptonic flavor changing effect, and those are also relatively safe.
Shufa, I'm sorry, I have to mention my paper. I usually don't do this, but since people ignore this for too long. In 1995, my collaborator, now I think he's working for a bank, his name is Nikita Stepanov. Mm-hmm. We wrote the first paper to promote Higgs decay into mu mu.
Oh, okay.
So this was 1995. We combined gluon fusion and mm-hmm. BB bar fusion mm-hmm. and to study Higgs decay into mu mu. Even mm-hmm. though we did not study glu alone, but uh-huh. we did combine glu and BB bar for MSSM.
Okay.
And we demonstrated for all three Higgs, mm-hmm. the little h, the big H, and the A. Mm-hmm. And we showed that at the decoupling limit, when the little h becomes standard model-like, mm-hmm. life will be difficult to mm-hmm. look for glu to Higgs to mu mu. Mm-hmm. But we demonstrated because of one over cosine beta enhancement, mm-hmm. The pseudoscalar and the heavy scalar will be highly enhanced because of the cross cross section,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and because of this because the branching ratio is sustained, therefore muon channel will be a wonderful channel to look mm-hmm. for Higgs in the MSSM.
Yeah. Right, for those for the A and the capital.
So that's for MSSM. Yeah. Then in 97, I wrote a paper with Vernon to show that in M. Sugra, Higgs into mu mu is a wonderful channel if mm-hmm. tangent beta is large.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Then in 2002, Scott Willenbrock and his collaborators persuaded us that if we want to study Higgs produced with B, uh-huh. the best channel to look for is to tag a B. Along with the Higgs decay. Mm-hmm. So in 2003, I wrote a paper with Sally and mm-hmm. Dwayne and Dwayne's student mm-hmm. that B Higgs into B mu mu can extend the search of mm-hmm. Higgs to mu mu by almost 150 GeV at mm-hmm. the LHC.
Okay, I see. That
and we just finished a paper on mm-hmm. B Higgs to mm-hmm. B tau tau.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed that in MSSM, this is a wonderful channel to look for a pseudoscalar or a heavy scalar up to 1 TeV.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want the citations, if you want the references, I can give it to you later. Okay. But for the B Higgs to B tau tau, we mm-hmm. studied one tau decaying into a lepton, another tau decaying into a hadron.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I add all those things. In the paper, I mean.
Okay, just to clarify one thing, you made the correct comment about the MSSM, but that comment actually was a tree level result.
Yeah, it's a tree level.
It's interesting that when you put in one loop corrections, there are interesting regions of the MSSM parameter space.
Yeah, with the bottom
you can suppress the Higgs to B bar without suppressing Higgs to tau pairs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know there are regions where you can get a factor too. I'm not sure what the largest mm-hmm. viable enhancement is.
Yes, the consideration sometime and which.
Well, zero the BB is, you'd have to prove to me that you had a robust region because based on one loop, it won't be zero. So,
okay.
But in any case, so a lot of what you say, I think, does apply to certain regions of the MSSM.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. You guys, I love MSSM.
Okay. Well, if there's no further questions, let's thank Xufeng again.